Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Sandra Bueno with Blog Talk Radio, Empowered to Be You, and this is a special edition of the regular programming, which normally comes on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 2 o'clock. Thursday's program is a special program since it entails bringing on a contributor, a leader, a coach, and a person who is making a difference, a person who is delivering results, a person who can use their testimony to prove a point. Since this is a show about empowerment, it's a show about education, accountability, responsibility, and reprogramming, I felt that it was idyllic to bring about a special call where two people who are very well respected in this medium are making not just strides, but are making significant changes and creating significant impact in our youth and in empowering youth to have a different life and a different outlook. And tonight I am going to be bringing on board the founder of the Youth Coaching Academy out in England. His name is Harry Singa. And before I begin, I will also let you know for the listeners out there, or if you are downloading the podcast, last week I had on the show the founder of the Children's Coalition, Carlton Cartwright, and I have asked him to come online again this evening. He is currently holding a program with some of his children as far as the program that he deals or that he serves the at-risk youth community. And hopefully he will be able to join us live and have some questions and answers with in association with Harry. And some of the children might be able to come online as well. Thus, we will be proceeding with that in just a few moments. But before I start, I want to be able to give you some background information on what has led to this point. And in my quest to really, really use my talent, my passion, my mission, I spent over a year pursuing the personal development angle. And all of most of you will know, if you have listened to these calls, the person, my mentor, has been Tony Robbins, and he delivers very impactful seminars where you discover the power within, and you get to the point where you realize that you have a power to change. You have the power to change, and you have a position of being able to create a change in your life by the choice and the meaning that you give to your experiences. And when we come across the at-risk community and the at-risk youth community, particularly here in West Palm Beach, where there is a high rate of gang-related activity and where we as a state have been targeted by the rest of the media and the education community with our test scores and our education, having these resources at our disposal really, really creates a different reality. And with this in mind, for me, recently about 3 or 4 months ago on a trip to England, I came across and had the opportunity to personally meet Harry Singa, who is the founder of the Youth Coaching Academy. And immediately we connected at a level that you connect when you realize that a person shares your heart and you're able to see that a person truly, truly evokes what they speak of. And I ended up going back to England to take the accreditation to become a youth coach and a mentor through Harry's program. And tonight, Harry is going to be talking about what his foundation does, what he has found out in England in working with many of the schools and presenting this program and how it's affected many lives. He's worked with approximately 10,000 kids within his program, and he has also worked with about 500 adult coaches that have gone and taken his program. And this is really, really an impact. This is something on October 26th, in association with the Children's Coalition, Power to Be You, which is my company, Live and Learn Enterprises. We are bringing forth Harry and the Coaching Academy to present a one-day training program at the Palm Beach Convention Center. And this program is going to serve not just the service recipients, but also the service providers. At the end of this day, though this is an introduction, participants will be able to have skills and resources, coaching skills that will facilitate their rapport, their communication, their delivery of whatever service or product they bring in front of a minor or a youth. Many people will often say, well, we don't understand each other, or I can't get through to that person, or you know what, they will never change. Well, people are going to see that's a limiting belief that no longer will stand once this program is tested out. Once people see what it is, people will no longer question, because the power comes from results. And I have been witness to the results of having children go through the program and within days completely become a different person, with a different delivery, with a different purpose and a vision in mind, that now they have sustainable change to continue going forward and impacting other lives. And who better to make a difference than the children themselves, who have gone through different stories in their lives. So this is very important to me. It's a very, very crucial matter that we must all become aware of. And it is my mission to bring this forth, to create an impact, and to bring resources and networking together so that the community can make a difference. Because, as we all know, it takes more than one person. It is not down to a teacher. It is not down to the parent. It is not down to just law enforcement. But it is a community. And it is a community approach that's going to create a difference for our children. And like I have said before, 40 years from now, we will turn back to today and say, what did I do? Was I part of the solution, or was I part of the problem? And now I'd like to take the time to introduce Harry, if he's online. Harry, are you online?
I'm here, Sandra.
Hello, Harry. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on. And I know you're in England right now. And what time is it there?
It's gone 11 at night, so it's all good.
Well, bless you, because this is so important, and I really, really, I think this is an amazing opportunity to be able to have you online and to be able to record this, as this recording will be going out to a lot of people who will benefit from knowing what this is and who will be able to use this as a resource. And I've also, before I let you start, I want to see if Carlton is online. Carlton, are you on? Okay, well, he's not on there yet. So what I will do is, Harry, if you can, I know you have an accent, so if you could just speak loud and clear, that's going to be great. And I just want you to introduce yourself, tell us who you are, and tell us about the foundation, and also why, the big why.
Okay. Well, I'm the guy with the London accent, then. the academy, the foundation, the why. Many different reasons of why it all started and why we carry on and doing what we're doing. The short, simple answer to the why is it became our destiny, it became our purpose. Now, the why in another way is we passionately believe that young people can make a difference in not only their lives but the lives of their peers. And the mission has become to remind young people that they can, and those that work with, care for, dare I say, love them, be inspired with that same message. So that's to me, that's what drives me, that's what's the passion behind the Academy.
And how long have you been working with, in this capacity, with children?
It started for me as a teenager, when my father passed away and I decided to get into social work, and I found counselling and therapy and got frustrated with how how much of an impact that was having, and then stumbled into personal development. And since then, found that, you know, you can make quantum leaps in life rather than just sort of gradual steps and so on. Yes, conditioning is required, but the decisions can be made instantly. And the sort of, I would say the catalyst was about 10 years ago when we started actually delivering a personal development program called Forever Young, where we took young people away for 5 days and covered everything from emotional intelligence, relationships, health, wealth, and looked at coaching and contribution. And we were just totally amazed with the impact that it had, surpassed all of our expectations, and our expectations were high in the first place. And we just carried on doing that. And then it was a case of, okay, we did some formal coaching, all trained up and became accredited life coaches, corporate coaches. We always had a mission to take it to young people. And then for some people will know the story where I was blessed to be in a situation where a young guy got murdered in my old school, and some young people stepped up to help each other and, in our definition, became coaches. And these were the first young people that we could expose personal development to. And they, you know, they were inspired and they wanted to do something and they wanted to become a coach, but there wasn't an opportunity for them to do that. So that hurt me personally, because I had lived off a year of ego saying I would take coaching to young people and not had to do anything about it. And here I was presented with a group of young people who wanted to become coaches. So we eventually said, okay, if it doesn't exist, we must create it. And we created an accredited coaching course for young people to actually become life coaches for their peers and adults in the same term. So in some sense, we stumbled by, you know, by chance and by circumstances, which I don't believe in. It was fate and it was synchronicity, that we ended up creating an academy that trains people to become youth coaches and young people to become youth peer coaches. So it's been an interesting journey for me, and you know, I would say it probably started way back when I was a small child, but effectively from a formal delivery standpoint, we're talking about 10 to 12 years ago.
Now, when you speak of formal coaching and you speak of accreditation and youth, how does this all come together so that a child can actually become a coach? Does he become a coach based on, I know your program is an accredited program. I know that this, when you had to go through various loops to be able to deliver a program that would be acceptable for youth to learn or to undergo. How did you work all that through? Because obviously, you being in England, there's a difference with us being in America. Yes. However, in America, we're one of those, you know, we're the country that takes everything on and it's like, hey, we want to bring that in. We want to use it. If it works, we want it. And, you know, and I feel very, very excited and very eager to be able to have this, like you said, this synergy, to be able to connect both of our countries via this bridge that's going to empower our youth, which is powerful.
Well, the connection's already been made. The Youth Coaching Academy has young people trained as coaches and adults trained as coaches across the globe. We have a 17-year-old girl in LA who is a youth coach. We have one in Brisbane. We have most of Europe and we have Asia. And just earlier this year, we trained up people in South Africa. And so the key is, it's young people are being trained up. And the answer to your question about accreditation and training, it was a case of, if someone has a passion to do something, and then you can give them the skills and the knowledge to deliver it and learn it, the accreditation was simply about us getting creative in how we could assess that. And my greatest metaphor is, if someone can make a cup of tea and then you get them to write an essay on it and they struggle with it, it doesn't necessarily mean they can't make the cup of tea. So we got really creative in how we could assess and demonstrate their competence as such, and have it accredited by the sort of standard education authorities that exist in the countries where we, you know, where we deliver the programs. So that way we had adults and young people not only trained by us and said, okay, yeah, we believe they can perform to a certain standard, that it was recognized by an external body, but not just an external body set up by somebody else. It was an external body that was governed by what we call our quality and curriculum authorities. So these are the people that oversee all qualifications. And all countries will have those counterparts. And guidelines here in the UK that we've been quite actively in supporting is that any programs that are delivered for young people has an element of the young people having something at the end of it as a form of accreditation of learning that they can utilize in life. And at the same time, it covers an element of performance and protection from the practitioner.
See, now I've gone through your program, but I want to ask you questions as our audience will have these, and I want to be able to give them these solution-based answers. With a child not receiving an accreditation, is he still able to be a peer coach?
Absolutely. I mean, the loose definition of a coach is somebody who inspires somebody else to be the best they can be. And I believe we all play a coach role in some shape or form in our lives. When it comes to training, there's personal development and then there's coaching. And coaching is sort of like taking some formal processes and helping someone identify where they want to go, where they are now in relation to it, and then using some formal process to help them close that gap and move towards where they want to go. Now, there are coaches out there who, you know, picked up a book and read a book and followed a couple of processes who are highly effective. And I'm not into regulations and say people must do things and must do it this way, because I think it takes away that spiritual intuition of performing at their best. The accreditation part is simply a means for offering a benchmark in standards. And whether a young person takes on accreditation route or they take on some skill sets, it's simply down to whoever they're delivering it to, understanding, you know, what they'll be able to do and their limitations may be that they haven't followed a formal training program, but it doesn't hinder them in the sense of being effective.
Now, how different is it to work with an adult person that's being coached and working with a child?
Great question. Many people ask that. They say, well, what's different? Why is it different? And what do you need to know? And so on. Fundamentally, for me, there's an absolute difference. There's an absolute distinction between the two. A practitioner who works with adults really, really does need to have some more distinctions when it comes to working young people, let alone the knowledge and the competence of the fact about a greater understanding of what young people's rights are, the element of confidentiality and consent and balancing the two, where too often people who are familiar with working adults suddenly go, okay, yep, sure, I can't work with a young person unless I get consent. And then suddenly they find out that actually that young person has a right to services without having to get consent. And then suddenly people get confused. And that's usually why many people are put off with working with young people, is the confusion around legislation around working with young people and the other aspect of other people being involved. That when you're working with a young person, a minor, it's highly likely you're going to be involved with parents, social justice system, the youth justice system. There will be other people involved, and even friends and peers and so on. So there's an element of understanding around legislation, but then there's also the appreciation that the person you're working with is a child. In the UK, they legalize anyone under the age of 18 is a child, and therefore there's some rights and there's some limits to those rights. And it would be unethical for a practitioner to not have the understanding of the rights of a young person and what may entail. And then we haven't even touched the element of culture and understanding of young people and the flexibility. A practicing coach will, you know, you'll have your boundaries and your structures, but then you may have a telephone coaching call with a young person and suddenly their parents decide, no, today we're going to see Auntie Betty and that's it, your coaching call's not happening. So there are certain factors around working with youth that requires a practitioner to have a certain element of flexibility. And a greater understanding of that rapport and connection with young people.
It's excellent that you say that, because what I'm hearing, I am involved in a lot of going through the coalition, the Children's Coalition. Carlton has positioned me at an amazing place where I am able to go into these meetings and listen to all of these people who are in youth programming, to include the Juvenile Justice Department and its officers. And there is a resounding, what can I say the word is, there's an agreement that something needs to come in that's going to create a shift. And, for example, when you mention culture, flexibility, I've met a lieutenant from the police department who was part of a program dealing, I believe it's called Eagle Scouts, if I'm not mistaken, but the essence of that program is they bring these kids who are in suspension and they put them through a program with a drill sergeant. So, of course, the drill sergeant has so much experience that the drill sergeant effectively makes these kids sit, and they listen, and they are regulated, but they do go through a change. And what came out of this lieutenant's mouth, he said, when these kids go back to school, some of their teachers have actually shot them down, telling them, who do you think you are coming in here and telling me this, telling me that you changed, or trying to teach me something? What do you think about that?
My short answer is, we become the expectation of our peer group. And our peer group is not the age group. Our peer group is who we spend time with. And to have a sustainable change requires a person to have a shift in their identity. And when we understand that, you know, supporting someone to change their identity, that's great, we can do that. And if we take on the principle that we become the expectation of our peer group, we'll understand that our identity is shaped by our peer group. So the people that we spend most time with, whatever they have expectations of us, we will end up, the simple metaphor is, you know, water will always settle at one level. And that is the challenge that they have. You can take them through many forms of intervention, whether it's disciplinary thing or just immerse them with love and inspire them. They go back to the peer group, and there will be a challenge if that peer group has a different type of expectation for them. And it's about people being aware of that and being able to either really, really, really influence their peer group. It's not impossible. It just makes it a little bit more challenging. And a strong individual can change the expectations of their peer group, just like their peer group bringing them back. So it's a very powerful phenomenon that people need to be aware of, that, you know, if we look at the five people around us in our lives that we spend most of our time with, the chances are the average of their bank balance is the same as your bank balance, the average in their emotional well-being is the same as yours, and the level of their relationships and so on is similar to yours. And it's not just a phenomenon. People just need to check it and look at it.
You can definitely see that. Now, what significant changes have you seen through your program?
Wow. How long is the show? The most powerful ones is, you know, the most simplest, yet the most powerful, is when young people come out there believing that they can. And not only that they can, that they get inspired to believe that they can help other people. And that, you know, my currency is the testimonials and letters that we get, not just from the young people, the families that, you know, write to us and say, Harry, thank you for giving me my son back. And, you know, those are the things that touch the heartstrings. And it's not just a lip service thing. They give you evidence next to it, in the sense of, oh, my son never used to speak to me, and now every night he tells me how much he loves me and makes proud of me. But those type of shifts are far more important than, you know, the intention we have about them going out and changing their communities and so on. It starts with self. Those that make those powerful fundamental shifts with themselves, with their families, and then obviously they, you know, just by having that element of us stroking their gene of contribution, they will go out and make massive changes for those that want to make that. And massive in the sense of from a geography and a global thing. But an individual who makes change personally, that's massive too. That's absolutely massive. And, you know, we've had young people at the age of 12 providing life coaching services for their schools and communities for 4 or 5 years, and they're coming out of their exams with amazing results. And, you know, people have been looking at the impact that they've had on other people with their coaching service, and they've forgotten the impact that it's had on them themselves, and not just themselves, their families and their peers. And to me, it's humbling, and it's great for me at the same time, because it reminds me of the fundamental belief that youth can. And so I'm blessed with, you know, being surrounded by a community of young people who've been through programs, who now are in that process where they're delivering those programs. And, you know, the same with some amazing adults. And just like yourself, you're a kindred spirit with many of the adults out there who've found themselves in the calling of inspiring young people to be the best they can be. So for me, those are the shifts. Those are the shifts when, you know, a young person goes from, you know, I can't to I can. And that, as simple as that is, that's still the most profound.
I don't see that. You just took me through so many state changes. Some people might not realize what it would, the state change is, you know, the state of being and, you know, a way of feeling at a specific moment. And I felt it, you know, I was there, I witnessed it, I shared it. And that is where today, you know, when we look outside, when I look at what Carlton is doing, when I look at his the Children's Coalition, when I look at the kids that he works with, because he delivers via art and technology, and he took me into the Juvenile Detention Center, where we saw 85 different children that were in the program, and as he spoke, you know, you could see the children kind of sitting up, listening, you know, kind of being a little interested about what he was sharing. And all of a sudden, at one particular moment, he mentioned, well, this is a skill. This, you know, you can actually go and be employed using this. A child who was 17 years old, who seemed to not care, who had his face buried inside of his shirt, immediately shot up, sat up, called him, sir, 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 and asked him, does this mean that I could actually have a job with this? Mm. And, you know, just that alone, you know, again, it's, you know, here in America, we talk a lot about, well, let's show them a skill and let's get them a job. And, of course, that's very important. But when it comes down to it, you know, that getting the job is not even as secure, because we know, you know, unemployment and just so many things that's happening in our society, that when you talk about getting a change in themselves, for them to be able to contribute to their community, to contribute toward sustainability, toward turning around and helping a fellow peer, a fellow child.
And I have a great story for you, for one of the young people that you came across when you was over here on our program, the young man called AJ, who's 16, 17 years old, and he went through the program, and this is the young man that has been expelled from one school after the other to the point where no school would take him. So he was in no formal education process, and through a desperate plea from his mum and his elder brother, he ended up on that program with us, where you was able to witness him go on our youth peer coaching program. Now, he been offered an employment within a neighbouring local authority, not the authority that he was in, a neighbouring local authority, to become the community's youth coach and create the Young People Service User Forum, where they evaluate the needs of young people and what the services are. Now, when I spoke to him recently, I said the only reason that we would actually commit to giving him that post was if he committed to, you know, if he'd actually delivered on his promise of taking care of himself and building his relationship with his mum and family and so on. And that all taken place. And then when I spoke to him and said, okay, what's your dream? What do you want to do? He said, I want to go back to my old school. But what was amazing about it, it wasn't, let me go back to my old school and put two fingers up at the teachers and say, look, I made it. It was profound what he said to me, because what he wanted to do was go back to his school and say exactly this. He said, look, I want to be the inspiration that if I can make it, those young people you're about to give up on can too. And to me, that was truly the essence of what it's all about, that they're still coming from an element of not ego, but from a pure standpoint of contribution and inspiration. So that was, you know, because you connected with that young man, to me that's a story that I wanted to share with you about what happened with AJ.
I got the chills just because nothing will inspire you more than being able to see a person that had a story and turn that around. Because that's true inspiration when a person can stand there and say, look, I was there, but now you don't have to be, and I'm going to show you how. I'm going to show you how you don't have to go down the same route. Or even if you've been down that route, I'm going to show you a different way, show you the light. And, you know, thank you for sharing that story, because I see his face and I saw him going through that program. And, you know, it's an adult being able to see the promise in a child and understanding that their circumstances, that, you know, their experiences, that does not really say who that child is or what their possibilities are.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, that's. I'm wondering if Carlton is on. Carlton, are you on? Okay, well, he's with his kids, and eventually he might be able to come on. But like I said, one of the Children's Coalition, their purpose is to truly go out there and impact with their audio visuals, with their movies. They were out in Washington, D.C. They were out in New York after 9/11. And already they're creating an impact by being able to go out into the youth empowerment centers. And those kids who have learned the skills are actually, one of them in particular, he's actually becoming the ambassador for the Children's Coalition. And he's someone that when you come out here on October 26th, I want you and him to truly connect, because he can be an AJ once again, you know, in going out into his community. Now, I know that you have talked with Deepak Chopra. I believe he's a friend of yours. And your uncle?
No, I'll call him uncle.
And he says, follow your bliss. What does that mean, follow your bliss?
To me, it means stay in your flow. Stay with your purpose. For me, it's a case of my bliss is to remember what my gift is. And for me, it answers another question around, you know, follow your bliss to inspire young people. For me, my gift back to God is by being grateful for the gifts that I've been given. And I've been humbled by the people that I've been able to meet with and the skill set that I've immersed with. And that to me is follow your bliss. Follow your bliss means find your passion. Find what you are totally at one with, what you enjoy the most, what allows you to add most value, and then follow that. And for me, I find nothing more than, you know, being with my family and being able to inspire other people to remember that, you know, they can make impossible possible. That is my bliss. And having people like Deepak say, okay, follow your bliss to inspire young people, you know, the answer's there, that I have everything I need with me to be able to go and do that. And, you know, I stand on the shoulders of many giants and side by side with so many other people it's not one from the standpoint of significance. It's you'll fall down, but we'll get back up and we'll find a way.
I agree with that. And it's something that you said that stands out, where you say, being with my family, and of course, most people automatically will think of their immediate family. You know, I know you have children and you're married to a wonderful, wonderful wife.
Mm.
Though I know that your family encompasses,
just
the world.
I'm blessed to be able to travel all over the world and work with people and find out what they're doing and, you know, commend what they're doing and give some recommendations for improvement and things like that. And then at any point I come up with something, people go, wow, where did you come up with that? What did you do? Was that from someone of your gurus or your mentors? And I say, oh yeah, absolutely, it's from one of my mentors. But I don't realize it's, you know, my mentor was like 6 years old and he was my son. And, you know, now he's 9 years old and he's been delivering leadership programs since he was five. And my daughter Rosie, who's now five, is just coming up with some amazing, you know, state inducers, and we play games like Mismatch and just to highlight how, you know, you build rapport and break out of rapport. So, you know, my son Harrison is my inspiration, and Rosie is the light, and my wife provides the grounding. It's, you know, Kate humbled me a long, long time ago when, you know, I used to come back with grandeur visions of supporting the world and doing all these things. And one day she just told me her vision was to be the greatest wife, the greatest mum, and the greatest daughter and the greatest sister in the world. And to me, it was like, wow, there you go. And so it doesn't have to be this whole geographical vision. It always starts from within. So my family are the inspiration, and it's, you know, it starts at home. It starts at home, and I'm allowed to live the vision and the mission day in, day out. So, yeah, my family is so important, and then that's my internal, and then I've got my collective family and so on. So it's, you know, family is important for me. Family can translate into community. And so, yeah, it's a very high value of mine.
Now, how do you see your role going forward? What do you see Youth Coaching Academy as well?
Well, the Youth Coaching Academy is the biggest challenge, was the same challenge as when it started. The biggest challenge was adults believing that young people can. Initially, I thought it was young people. But young people very quickly get inspired to remember that they can. And the challenge was we're training up young people around the globe to become coaches, to be able to formally help themselves and other people. Yet their perceived identity is it's just a young person. They can't possibly be doing what a professional adult life coach can do. So the simple goal for the academy is to continue raising awareness of adults who are around these young people and to support them and nurture them and fundamentally have that high expectation of them that allows them to fulfill the identity that they've chosen. And the academy, it's about where I want the academy to go. I want the academy to support people who are passionate about coaching young people. Support them to get out there and do it. Remember that they can themselves do it. Raise that awareness of the impact and the value of coaching as an intervention, not to replace everything, that it's there as another tool, and it's very effective, and it's very simple yet very effective. And then whilst that awareness is there, to then plant the seed and say, what if we got the young people to do this as well? How amazing could that be? And that's the principle behind touching half of the youth population and let them take care of the other half.
Yeah, that brings to mind a pastor for the church that I attend, Christ Fellowship, who said, he's a youth pastor, and he said, I believe that our children are going to be the ones who make a difference. And I will tell you that is so evident when Carlton can tell you that on Sundays at 10 a.m. he will have a child sit on the corner to be picked up, to be taken to church, because his parent is not available, or because the parent went out the night before and drank. You know, I think when you share the vision, like you said, kindred spirits, and you can see, and exactly what you said, intervention in association with all the other elements that they can be given. Intervention is so key. And again, I have to also go to the Justice Department officer, who basically said, you know, he's worked with so many children, and he says, look, and he mentioned with the example about the tea. If just because you can't write an essay on how to make tea, but yet you bring a cup of tea, doesn't mean that you don't know. Which is no, it's find another way. You know, with the youth coaching, let's talk a little about what the youth coaching program entails. What is delivered, and what do the children go through?
Well, fundamentally, we always kick off with making sure that everybody has the profound understanding of how we learn. And once we deliver that, it's the key thing is we take away their right to say, I don't know how to learn. And once that's in place, that's the grounding for taking on board everything else. So all the limiting beliefs that were around before about whether they're learning or if they've been labeled with attention deficit disorders or dyslexia and all the other varied limitations that people have on what some people call learning disabilities, and we you know, affectionately label as teaching disabilities. And so once we've uncovered that, it opens up a whole, you know, sort of like a playground for these young people around, wow, okay, I've got it, so I can actually learn anything I want. Yeah, brilliant. And then we take them through some really what can be seen as complex things, such as emotional intelligence and state management, but do it in some real fun ways that it's not just superficial learning. It's contextualized and they embody it, and then there's some practical things that they have to do, such as breaking through wood or jumping off poles. And these type of activities, you either know the subject or you don't. So it's that way their subconscious, their internal learning goes, okay, yeah, I got it, definitely got it. And so we cover the emotional intelligence. Then we go and unpack things around how we communicate. Communicate on such a different level, so it's not just our words, but really get into some advanced, complex ways of improving communication and engaging with people. And, you know, people always come up to me and ask me that one question, how do we engage? And then, you know, once we've unpacked that for them and shown how simple it is, it's profound, because they can make these changes straight away. And then, you know, we go through the advanced sort of listening and questioning skills, and then we look at some coaching models that they can use straight away, some tools that help people get from A to B. We help people understand about how values are constructed, the relationship between beliefs and values, and therefore identity as well. So there are so many tools and techniques, but essentially what I'd like to say is everything that we train adults in, we train the young people, and it takes a lot less time. We can go for it a lot faster, but it's a case of, you know, implementing through the accelerated learning aspects of it. So, I mean, our program's essentially created, I mean, I haven't mentioned my brother Bob, who actually co-founded the academy with me. It's, I was bringing human technology and he was bringing media technology, and through having everything around accelerated learning and effective learning, as we've sort of coined it, bringing all the concept of effective learning with the fundamentals of coaching and neuro-linguistic programming and all of the other elements that are there in relation to personal development and formal coaching, giving that to young people, and they absorb it, and then by the end of the program they go, yeah, I can do this. And not only can I do this, it works and it's amazing, and it's, and in their words, it's magical and so on. So that's our outcome. Our outcome is to give them these tools and skills that not, that we don't leave and they go, wow, the guy really knows what he's talking about, that they leave and go, wow, I can actually do this. And that's the profound impact that we look for.
Now, have you had a lot of children who can come to you, who've had, let's say, labels placed on them, and have you seen that transition? Have you been able to maybe Absolutely. Follow through, or measurements that will say, oh, yeah, this is sustainable?
Yeah, I mean, we've got the, you know, the classic ones of, you know, young people who are not doing very well in their exams and predicted certain grades and had some, you know, amazing. I mean, one of our youth peer coaches just finished off what we have our GCSE, so when they leave their so high school and so on, and he ended up with like 10 GCSEs. That's like as many exams you can take, all with A star, the highest grade that you could possibly have. And he fundamentally put that down to his coaching programs and how he was doing it. But there were people who are like gone from not enjoying school to enjoying school. And it's, for me, it's one of these, other people always ask, have you measured it? But the measurements are what the young people put to it. And, you know, if a young person has really improved their relationships with their mum and that was the most important thing to them, to me, that's the measurement that we look at. Now, from advocating to the rest of the world and showcasing it to other people, we've had the young people who have been labelled with attention deficit disorder and dyslexia and all those things, ending up with a level 2 and some level 3 accreditation. That's a post-diploma level accreditation in an academic subject. So those are like, you have your soft skill targets and you have your hard skill aspects. So they're there, and for me, it's still, I'm always humbled by those people that have been outcast by community, and then they come back and become the community leaders. And those are the fundamental shifts that I look at. And for me, it is about community coaching. The reason why I've agreed to come to you in Florida on the 26th is simply because I see in you a catalyst to have a shift in a community. And to me, that's what it's about, having a community believe they can. and have a community believe that their young people can, and create that expectation of them that allows them to foster and grow and do the things that they can do. And to me, that's the most powerful bit. Taking those young people that are in your community that people think there's no way. That I learned a long time ago that impossible just takes a little bit longer than the difficult things.
And now what would you say, because I was actually going to ask you that, why did you agree to come out here and deliver this one-day masterclass to our community? And you just answered it, so you beat me to the question.
That's it. It's my gift back to your community, and it's my gift back to you, Sandra, because I'm blessed to come across individuals who resonate and say, you know what, this is who I am, this is what I'm going to do. And sometimes everybody worries about, I don't have the resources for this, and we can't do that. And then when I see someone that says, okay, I don't have the resources to do this, could you come and help me? And what it shows is you've become resourceful. And then what you will do is you'll inspire the rest of your community to become resourceful. And therefore not focusing on what they don't have, to start focusing on how they can use what they have to get even more. And to me, that's there's two reasons why I'm coming. There are young people in your community who, you know, will be stepping up and becoming coaches. I want to gift that training to those that work with and care for them and say, okay, cool, here you go. Here's one way. There are so many more ways. And I know Live and Learn and the Power to Be and the Children's Coalition, you got some even more profound products that I'm not even aware of. So the idea here is to, if I act as that catalyst for change, if I act as that inspiration, then that's what it's about. That's my mission, that's my purpose, that's my calling. So, you know, our paths crossed for that very reason.
I tell you, to me, you hit me like right on, you know, you've hit me so many ways today, and they've all been great, because it's, you know, talking about the catalyst and talking, and, you know, it's the humbling point where you're able to say, well, you know what, I may not have everything that I need, but I'm willing to stand up and follow through. And when you're willing to do that and at the same time lend a hand, and you're looking outside of your lack, and you're concentrating more on your, well, God has gifted us with so much. You know what? He knows the way. He knows who he's going to place in our path. And today, you yourself have put me there. Because, you know, like you said, today, even the Youth Coaching Academy is in the same place where you were at the beginning. As you grow, obviously, there are new needs. And as you expand, you know, there's a new level of you demanded and to show up. And I know that in me pursuing this, just the sheer fact of me meeting Carlton, I mean, I will tell you on a side, he is the reason why my husband and I got married. Simply because he was able to see the need and say, look, you have to be balanced in what you're doing. You have to have someone to support you in this. And he is the total perfect man for you.
Wow.
And if I were not clear yet, I was within a day. Because I am so aware of the vision, and I am so aware of, you know, of the need of being able to not just give hope, but to transform a life after a life. And it is so there. It's such a ground that, you know, we need to stand up and bond together and go forward, you know, and it's just as long as we know that purpose. And one, I mean, I have various questions for you, but I do want to ask you, what will people have when they come to the one-day training? What will they gain?
The short answer is they will leave with some fundamental skills that they can use straight away. And the sort of little bit more on that is all what I explained about before, what we take young people through and adults through. They will go through our one-day coaching skills program. We charge, that retails at about $400, where to me that's my gift to you, that will come and give as many of your people that really care and are passionate about young people. I will gift that to them. And what they will get is they'll get everything that we train people around the globe on: how to work with young people, how to manage emotions, how people learn, how to do advanced rapport and engage with people that they think they can't engage with, and really look at some fundamental sort of how to coach people, some models and tools to use. And really, it's, you know, I my outcome is to have enough people there to support the change in sort of like a social expectation around Florida of what young people are capable of and those people who work with and care for them. It's, to me, that's, like I say, that's I'm there to remind people that they're not going to fix anyone because nobody's broken. And they're not there to make people do anything. They're there to inspire people. They're there to inspire people to change. And that's my role. I'm there to inspire them. So an even shorter answer is they will leave inspired. The fact that young people can make a difference and that these people that attend, the adults that attend, will also be inspired that they also can make a difference.
Now, what would you say to the community of educators, legislators, administrators, people in the medical field that sometimes are those that use labels? What would you say to them?
Well, this is it. I mean, labels are there. I mean, when we started our first personal development program, I mean, my brother and I, we sat down and said, well, who do we want here? And, you know, I had years of experience of working with the most socially disaffected youth and so on. I was like, no, this program can't be just for them. It has to be for all young people. And we decided, well, no, we want this. And we found ourselves using labels. It was like, hey, hang on. We're doing what we said we don't want other people to do. And then we realized, well, hang on. These labels are being used. We need to use these labels to attract people in and then unpack those labels. So when we deliver Forever Young, a personal development program, we say to our contacts and say, okay, we can gift, say, 6 places in your locality, but what we ask for is 2 young people from a socially disaffected group. Whether these are the ones that cost that area, that local authority, money, resources, and time. They're usually the ones that people can identify straight away and say, yep, there you go, those are the ones. And then we also ask for those that are labeled now as gifted and talented. And we take a couple of those. And then there's those in the middle that aren't labeled as such. And they sit there and go, well, hang on, Johnny Clever's going and Johnny Trouble's going. How come I'm not going? And it's far easier for me to become Johnny Trouble and they end up going down that road. But what we say is we take a cross-section of those 3 labels, and when they come into the program, they themselves are inspired to become a peer group and go back into the community and make a shift and make a change. And so if someone is working with labels and things, my message to them is very simple. The more you use the label, the more you're ingraining the identity and the expectation. And if you are using the label, be absolutely clear that that's what that's going to be doing.
Yeah, that leads one to really think a lot, because one of the questions that I know people have had before as far as doing the coaching is the fear of the individual who is going to be coaching to say, well, I am not there yet. I am not a doctor. I am not a psychiatrist. I am not a psychologist. Mm-hmm. You know, and that limiting doubt. What would you say to that?
If you believe you're not there, you're not there. that's one way of putting it. To turn around and go, would you like to be there? And if they do, find out how much they want to be there. And if they are, then that's the leverage that we need to come in and say, okay, brilliant. So did someone else think they were not here? But that's why we, you know, have young people as our facilitators and our trainers, because they'll go, well, hang on, if they can do it, I can do it too. And it's, we will get as creative as we possibly can on how we can inspire people to take that step.
Yeah, it leads me to remembering a few lines that I got from the training and the coaching, which was learn to teach and teach to learn. And that was actually Bob who mentioned that, which is it's such an effective term. And the other one is related to coaching. And I'm actually thinking about it, but I got so excited about being able to bring it out that it took it out. As far as embodying who you are and just saying it, but it was something that you said to the effect of just being, of just, you know, just stepping out there and pursuing it without any form of limitation.
That's
and
right.
I think that's what it is. That's where why I come down to the power to be you, which no one else determined that power but yourself.
That's right. I mean, another answer to someone who doesn't believe they can, I would turn around and say, if you have the power to love and the power to inspire other people, then you already have the fundamental belief and skill set, and it just needs to be harnessed and developed. So people go, oh, yeah, but I can't love, and I can't. Then they wouldn't be alive if they couldn't love. Because as human beings, we require that to be alive.
Now, in closing, Harry, what would you say is the greatest gift of life?
The greatest gift of life is the ability to choose the meaning to absolutely anything that happens in life. And you know, people always have that thing, but what's the meaning of life? The meaning of life is that you can actually choose anything you want it to mean. So no matter what circumstances those young people or those adults in your community have been through, they can actually choose the meaning. And, you know, many of us that have the power of hindsight and life experience that maybe young people don't have, we can say, oh, we look back on that and, you know, think, oh, 10, 20 years down the road, they can look back on it and see the value. Why wait 10, 20 years? You know, when you realize that you can actually choose the meaning to absolutely anything, then the past doesn't equal the future. Then everything that's happened to you in your life has just got you ready for now. And whatever, you know, the most cliche things about, you know, the past is a mystery, and sorry, the past is history and the future is mystery, and the now is the present, and that's, it's a gift. So the fact that you can choose the meaning in this moment, that's the gift. That's the most beautiful thing about life.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Harry. I know that, you know, I am so excited. I am eager. I am passionate. I come outside of my skin to say and to look forward and say, I know that what we are doing collectively, I know that what Carlton has been doing for the past 20 years, you know, because he's like a locomotive, you know. Mm. Everyone in the community knows him. You know, what he has been doing is exactly what you said, has prepared him and what he's doing with the children to meet me, for me to meet you, and for us to create this bond now that the future lies in front of us, but it's being created now.
That's
and I know that you would command $20,000 per day to come and speak, and this is an amazing gift, and I am just blessed to have you in my life and to be able to bring your knowledge, your awareness, your skill, and your gift here to our community. So, you know, this is the beginning and the continuation of something great. So, you know, thank you. Thank you, Harry.
It's my pleasure.
Now, Harry, give one last thing. Your where people want to come, that is, when they want to come to you and do the Youth Coaching Academy and be in England and be accredited through your program, how can they reach you?
Well, I'm taking the steps of, instead of people coming to the UK to become accredited, I'm bringing the accreditation to other countries. We have an accreditation body who's going to go global, in the sense of they will be recognized in your local community as an accrediting body. And for me now, it's not about me running programs and courses. We have home study programs for people coming out for next year. And for me, next year will be modeling like what we're already doing with you. We'll be going out and, you know, spending days and a couple of days with communities and inspiring them. I'm part of a larger group now called the Excel Group, Extraordinary Lives, and these are a group of entrepreneurs through sort of Roger Hamilton and even the Clinton Global Initiative is all part of it, where, you know, we've decided that to take care of poverty and all the other challenges that maybe present this world right now, the people that are going to make the biggest shift and the difference are entrepreneurs, not just politicians and, you know, bands. It's entrepreneurs. And what it is there's a group of us now who are passionate about creating businesses that are social enterprises. And, you know, the Academy is a social enterprise in the sense it's a not-for-profit distribution company. So for me, it's a case of I am passionate about communities being able to serve each other, and anybody that cares about young people that will turn up at that event, for me, that's what will happen. If they're passionate about working with young people and they want to carry on doing it, I and a whole group of other entrepreneurs are there to support them. to achieve their dreams, and to show people that they can also, you know, become wealthy, and not just financially, but be able to make a massive, massive difference through sustainable enterprises. So it comes down to that thing about our role will be to support anyone, anyone that's interested in coaching and supporting young people. Connect through the Academy website, the youthcoachingacademy.com, and on there it's just about stay in touch. Ask questions. Say what you want to do. There's someone there, and they're not too far away. And I know anybody that's in Florida, they've got one of our great youth coaches in you. So, you know, and you're not alone. You've got the peer group of youth coaches out there. You've got the whole of the Anthony Robbins family. There's so many resources that we can tap into once we become resourceful. So the message is simple. Connect with the Academy. They could connect through me, and we will support them to realize their dreams.
Good. Okay, well, Harry, thank you again. And our time is up, so we will see you here in Florida October 26th.
I look forward
to it.
Thanks,
Harry. Okay. Good night.
Bye-bye.